Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Good morning, church. That was pretty good. Let's try to get a couple more people in that. Good morning, church. Hey, it's so good to be with y'all today. We're going to start a new series that's entitled Wisdom. Wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I need some wisdom. My goodness, I need some wisdom. And we're going to specifically look at the book of Proverbs. And so if you remembered, I challenged or I invited you to join with me in reading the book of Proverbs. There's 31 days in July, and guess how many chapters there are in Proverbs, right? 31. And so I said, hey, as a church, why don't we take on the challenge and why don't we read one proverb a day? And so today is July 2nd, and guess what proverb we should be reading today? Y'all are so smart, like two. Yeah, July 2nd is Proverbs chapter 2. Tomorrow is July 3rd. Once again, what chapter are we going to read tomorrow? Three. You guys are so smart, man. You guys are brilliant. So we're jumping in and we're reading. If you missed out so far, guess what? You've only missed one day. Go back and read it. It'll literally take you 3 to 5 minutes to read a chapter. You can still catch Sports Center and all that good stuff, but you will not regret getting in the Word of God together. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do as we're unified and reading His Word together. But we're going to be specifically looking at the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs, we need to first off recognize that it was authored primarily by Solomon, King Solomon. He was the son of King David, who was probably the most well-known king of Israel. And so Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he also wrote the book of Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. And the book of Proverbs is part of the Bible literature that we know as the wisdom literature. Like in the Bible, we've got the poetry, we've got history, we've got the Gospels, which is the story of Jesus. We've got the letters of Paul. But in the middle, before the prophets, we see that there is this wisdom literature, which includes Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And all of them put together kind of give us some insight of what is wisdom and what does it look like to live a life that embraces wisdom. Now, as we look at Proverbs and we see at the very early stages that Solomon kind of opens it up and says, hey, here is the reason why I'm writing these Proverbs down. He says, for one, I want you to embrace and know wisdom. And he said, if you're already wise, which there's some wise people in here, here's what Proverbs, the book of Proverbs tells us, that you can actually increase in wisdom. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And he also says, if you feel like you don't have a lot of wisdom today and you feel like you're kind of foolish and you haven't made great decisions, what Solomon would tell you is there's hope because wisdom is to be had. And so when we look at the book of Proverbs, the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to teach us what it looks like to live a life well lived, to live a successful life, as some would call it. That's what the hope of Proverbs is when you look at Solomon. Now, I want to make just a couple, or at least one, heads up here. As we read this together, we need to recognize that these are proverbs. They're not promises, okay? So when you read the book of Proverbs, what we know is that if I live out of this wisdom, more than likely, the probability is on my side that I'm going to get X in return, but not always, right? I mean, some of this says if a fool, you know, doesn't work, he's not going to have money. Well, we know the reality. There are some foolish people in this world that have a lot of money, right? You see, it's a proverb. It's a rule of thumb that more times than not, if we align ourselves with the teaching of wisdom, that we're going to receive the fruit of wisdom, right? And so that's what I want us to do. Is anybody else in this room want to live a life well lived? Anybody else? Yeah, come on, every hand should be raised, right? We want to. And so the hope of Solomon would put us on the track to do that, that we would have some guidance. Now, I want us to first, though, recognize what is the value of wisdom? It's a question we should always ask. What is it that I'm going to give myself to seek out wisdom? What is the value? What's the carrot at the end of the stick? We should ask that question. And Solomon probably knew we were going to ask this question because he was a pretty smart dude. And in chapter 3 of Proverbs, you can open up there, starting in verse 13, this is what he says about wisdom. He said, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Now we got to remember the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he was writing kind of in this kind of riddle format, this very poetic kind of picture. And so he personifies wisdom as a woman. And all you women said, yeah, amen. That's right. And all the guys said, yeah, I want to get that woman, right? And so that's what he knew about us. And he says, this is how you should pursue wisdom, like you would pursue a woman if you're a man, right? This is what he says. And he says, this is the value of her, of wisdom. He says, if you find it, you're going to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I want the favor of God. Even if you're like, question, is God real? If he is, you want him on your side. Guarantee that, right? And so he says, if you find it, you're going to be blessed. He says, the value of it or the gain of it is better than silver, and it's more valuable than gold, and it's more precious than jewels. And all the women said, yeah, well, he's talking my language, right? But what he says is that ring that's on your finger, that ring that is at Tiffany's that you really want and wish you could get, he says, the wisdom of God is far more valuable than that. And he says, with this wisdom, it leads to a long and full and well-lived life. And so that is the value of wisdom. That is the hope, and that's the carrot. And so then we have to ask the question, if it's so valuable in God's eyes, in Solomon's eyes, what is it? What is it? Well, here's what Webster's definition of wisdom is. Webster says that it is correct or right application of knowledge and understanding. Right and correct application of knowledge and understanding. So here's the three things that we've got to understand as we start this series. There's a difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So what is knowledge? Knowledge are the facts. Like, what is true? Like, I know that the Buckeyes are the best football team in America. Like, that is knowledge. Like, you may disagree, but that is knowledge, right? So that's a fact. And so knowledge is factual. Understanding, though, what is understanding? Understanding is I see the facts and I can see something beyond it. I can see a meaning within the facts. I can gather them together and I can actually get about a principle. So you got facts or knowledge, and understanding is I take in all the facts, and with that information, I can see beyond, and I can begin to come up with some principles. That's understanding. And so what the definition of wisdom is I take the knowledge, and I take the understanding, and it's in the application of those two things is you will find wisdom. How many of you know really smart people that aren't very wise? Every one of us, right? So it's not about the information you know. It's how you apply the information that you have. That's what a wise person does. Because in one situation, it may cause me to do A, but in the very same exact situation at another time, it may require me to do B. And to know the difference if I have principle A or principle B, I've got to be a person that has wisdom. It's in the application. When and why and how do I apply the knowledge and understanding? That is what wisdom is. Now, I've got a good friend of mine. His name is Vernon Berger, and I hope that he'll come and preach here. At some point, he is wicked smart. I mean, he is just a brilliant dude, theologian guy, and just crazy smart. And this is his definition of biblical wisdom. I want you to write this down. It's the harmony of right thinking that produces right actions. This is the wisdom that we're studying over the next few weeks. It's the harmony or combination of right thinking that produces right action. If I just have right thinking and it never translates to actions, I can't say that I'm a person of wisdom. That right thinking has to translate and be manifested into right actions to be wisdom. And you know the fruit of somebody who's wise is a life of wisdom, a life of good decisions, a life that shows that they're actually wise. A foolish lifestyle, even if I say I'm wise, would tell me otherwise, right? You guys know that. So it's this right thinking that leads to or produces right action. Now, I thought we would start at the very beginning of where do I go and what do I do if I'm a person who wants to grow in wisdom. If you've got your Bible, flip open to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to start out in one verse that's a little peculiar, but I think we can learn quite a bit from it. Chapter 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Hold it. Wait. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Did you get that? Yeah, some of you are like, what did he just say? The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. What in the world is Solomon saying? What in the world? That seems so weird. What is he saying? Well, I think we can actually harvest a lot of things out of this. If the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. What did he mean? Number one, I want you to write down in your notes that the beginning of wisdom begins when I realize I need wisdom. If I want to gain wisdom, I've got to realize I don't have wisdom, and that's where wisdom begins. If I think I already have it, I'm not going to pursue it. And if I think I don't need it, guess what? I'm also not going to go look for it. The beginning of wisdom, the starting line of wisdom, where it all begins, is the recognition that I do not have wisdom. That's where it begins. And if we're not there, then guess what? We're not going to receive wisdom when we're not going to grow in wisdom. And I was thinking, like, how can I describe this a little bit? And then I was thinking of my beautiful wife. You know, she loves to bake. She makes this amazing, made from scratch carrot cake that is just like, And so let's say one day she realizes, man, I just love Derek. He's such a good pastor. And she decides, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get some ingredients and I'm just going to bless him because I just love him. And she goes to the store and she comes home and she begins to make this carrot cake, which maybe this week I'll prophetically speak that over you. And she begins to make this cake and she gets to the part though where she needs some eggs. And she's like, okay, let me go to the refrigerator. And she opens up the refrigerator and guess what? No eggs. But she was at the store just hours before that. But you see, she didn't realize that she needed eggs, so she didn't get eggs. So she didn't have them. But the moment she realized that she didn't have eggs, guess what she was positioned to do? Go get eggs. The same is true for wisdom. If I want to grow in wisdom, it's got to begin with recognizing I do not have the wisdom that I need. And when I'm positioned to know that I don't have the wisdom that I need, then and only then can I go get it. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And we see this requires a few things. We see in chapter 11, verse 2 of Proverbs, Solomon writes this another profound thing. He said, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. So guarantee, if you're a cocky guy or gal and you're prideful, just watch out. It's coming. The fall is upon you. It says that with pride comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. I want you to write down the second thing is that gaining wisdom requires humility. See, first, if I want to grow in humility, if I want to grow in wisdom, I've got to first reckon I do not have wisdom. The second thing I've got to realize, which makes me humble myself, is not only do I not have, somebody else does have. And that's a shot to my ego. You mean there's something I don't have, Jeff, and that I got to come to you to get? Yeah, that requires me to humble myself. And what is humility? What does it mean? Well, humility, here's the definition I think is closely related. It's humility is seeing myself and others the way that God sees myself and others. See, I recognize that God is God and Derek Harden is not God. And my wife said amen to that. Amen. See, humility is having proper perspective. That is what godly humility is. I recognize who God is. I recognize that I'm not him, but I recognize myself as he sees me, and I recognize you as God sees you. That is where humility is. And so pride is the opposite of that. And what is pride? Pride is thinking of myself way too highly, right? Too highly. But not only is pride thinking of myself better than I am, it's also thinking of myself worse than I am. Because both miss the target on what God tells about me. Like, if I don't think I'm worthy of forgiveness, then what am I doing? I am prideful because I'm not believing what God has said. I'm not seeing myself as God sees me. I'm seeing myself as unworthy, and God says, no, you're worthy, and I proved it on the cross. See, humility is actually seeing myself as God sees me, not too high or not too low. And if we want to be wise, it requires humility. It requires us to recognize, man, I don't have, but there's somebody else who does have, and that hits our ego. But if we want to grow in humility or in wisdom, we got to grow in humility. And then we say, well, Derek, okay, I'm following you a little bit. I recognize I don't have wisdom. That's the beginning. And then I humble myself and recognize somebody does have wisdom. Well, where do I go to get wisdom? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Like, where is the source? Here's what I want you to write in there. The source of all good, godly wisdom, true wisdom is God. The source of all true wisdom is God. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 2, the chapter that we're reading together today as a church, verse 6. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Where does true wisdom come from? It comes from God. And Job says it like this in 12:13. He says, with God are wisdom and might. So if we want to know where does wisdom come from, it comes from God. Now, when we think about God, we think about Jesus. Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. He was the exact representation of the Father in the flesh. He manifested the character of the Father, the thoughts of the Father. And when we look at Jesus, what did he do? He had everything he thought was aligned with God, and every action he did was aligned with God. That would make him somebody who was wise. And we see this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he's encouraging them, and he's reminding them the truth of the gospel. And then he gets into it, and he says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And so all of what Paul's saying is about Jesus. So he says, the mystery of God is in Christ. And now this is what he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden? In Jesus. Because Jesus was the embodiment of wisdom on this earth. The definition of wisdom is right thinking with right action. This is Jesus. This sums him up. He didn't have to try to have his mind renewed by God because it was already renewed. It was whole to begin with. Every thought that he ever had was aligned with God, and that thinking produced godly or good action. So if we want to pursue wisdom, we've got to go to the source. And where's the source? It says right here that Jesus is the source. And so what do we do? What do we do with that? Well, thankfully, James, all the way in the New Testament, he understood wisdom quite a bit. He probably read the book of Proverbs at some point. And so James, as he's writing to the dispersed 12 tribes, they had been persecuted and come under attack, and they all kind of spread out to get away. And in verse 5 of James chapter 1, this is what James tells us about wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If any lacks wisdom, what's the beginning of wisdom? Get wisdom. And what do you have to do to get wisdom? Recognize what? You lack wisdom. See, James, he was right with Solomon. He says, if you lack wisdom, that means I got to recognize I don't have wisdom. Then what do? Let him who has no wisdom or lacks wisdom ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Do you see the character of God? Did you see the glory of it? We oftentimes see God as this angry, grumpy old man who's like, y'all, you came to me again, how dare you? But what it says here is when we come to God, he doesn't just give us the bare bones minimum. He gives us generously. That's over and beyond what we ask him to do. And he says he does it without reproach. That means he doesn't look at us when we ask him, like, why are you asking me? How dare you ask for him? He actually says, come. I want to give you my wisdom. And I want to give you more than you ever thought possible. See, what does that do? It stimulates relationship. God isn't sitting up here, man, how dare them come to me and ask me for wisdom. He says, no, please come to me. Please ask me for wisdom. Come to me, because when you come to me and you ask me for wisdom, we're going to grow in a relationship. You're going to know me and you're going to get to know my ways. So come to me, ask me, and I will give it to you. So if we want to grow in wisdom, we've got to recognize that we've got to ask for it. And what I love about Solomon is he wrote this proverb at the very end of his life. And so he lived a long life, and at the very end, he wrote the book of Proverbs. He was kind of like a prime timer, like writing the Proverbs. That's kind of like who he was. Like, he was at kind of the last stage of his life. Instead of wasting his life, he said, I'm going to write down and I'm going to pass along this wisdom for future generations. But to get that wisdom at the end of his life, guess what? He had to live a lot of life before that. And we see his life in 1 Kings chapter 3. If you want to turn there, you can. It's not going to be on the screen. 1 Kings chapter 3, we get a picture at the very beginning of Solomon's reign as king of Israel. Right after his papa, David, he takes over, and David anoints him and calls him out. And this is what happens. God comes to Solomon in a dream, and he asked him this, ask what I shall give you. Now just imagine if God, not Aladdin, but God came to you in a dream and said, I'm going to give you anything you would ask. What would you ask for?
Seriously, like what would you ask for in this moment? This is the question that Solomon was given by God. Ask what you will have. And he goes on and he talks about his father. And then he says this. He says, "And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people with whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern your great people?" What did Solomon do? And how was he able to write Proverbs 4:7, beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom? How did he know how to write that verse in Proverbs? Because he lived it. See, when he finally got the keys to the kingdom and said, "Hey, you're king now," what was the first thing that he recognized he needed? Wisdom. It says he asked God, "God, I don't know." And what's he do? He humbled himself. He says, "I'm like a little kid. I don't know my going out and my coming in. And so, God, will you give me your wisdom?" He asked him, and God looked at him. And it says a little bit later that he was so pleased with Solomon's decision. So not only did he make him the wisest man to ever live to that point and ever to live in the future, the wisest man to ever live, he also said, "I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you a long life and riches." See, Solomon, he lived out this principle. Where does wisdom begin? It begins with asking for wisdom. So if we want to grow in wisdom, what do? We ask God. And how does God respond? Here's four things that I want you to write down that I believe God does to give us wisdom. Number one, he calls us to open up his word. If you are seeking wisdom for anything in your life today, the best place to start is asking God to speak to you and to give you wisdom in his word. I heard a pastor one time said that asking God for something and not opening your Bible is like expecting a phone call with your phone off. Very rarely does it happen. So if we're people that are seeking wisdom, we should first go to the source. And in the source, God has spoken. He's given us words and he's given us direction in his word where we get to know him. So it begins with in his word. If I'm seeking wisdom, the first place I go is the word of God. The second place I go is prayer. And I put my petitions before God, just like Solomon. God, give me wisdom. God, you know I need it. You know better than I do about the situation. God, will you give me wisdom? And then we do the very, very hard thing for us to do. We shut our mouth and we listen. It's one of the hardest things I do every week when I pray. Zip in and listen. Giving God room and space to actually speak if I believe he actually will. And so we ask God in prayer for wisdom, and then we give him space to actually respond. And then the third thing is experience. How many of you know that you can have a terrible experience in life and you can grow in wisdom, or you can have a terrible experience in life and you can be none wiser at the end of it? Has anybody ever done that? Yeah. So I believe that through our circumstance, through our hard times, through our good times, God is teaching us and he's wooing us. And in those moments, God wants to teach us what it looks like to have right thinking that produces right action. That's wisdom. So what you're going through today, listen, it's not going to be lost if you allow it to be used by God for your good and his glory. Wisdom begins with recognizing that I need it. And then the fourth thing that we're going to study next week is godly counsel. If you want to grow in wisdom and you're seeking, you're asking God, this is what you need to do. You need to find some men or women around you, some people that you know love Jesus, and you need to go to them. And listen, my spiritual life, my role as becoming from an engineer to healthcare to a pastor, I don't know if I would have been able to navigate it without having men around me that I submitted to. Because here's the thing we do oftentimes. We run around and we try to find people that think the things that we think and will say and affirm what we want to be said and affirmed. But what godly counsel does is I go to a person that I trust and love, and I submit to them and I say, "Hey, here's what I'm thinking of. These are the things that I'm struggling with. Will you speak into my life even if I don't like to hear it?" And through these four things, I believe are the primary ways that God gives us wisdom. But first we've got to recognize, man, I don't have wisdom, but somebody else does. That requires us to humble ourselves. That requires us to go to the source, which is God himself. And I'm praying this week that our church over this series would grow in a desire to be wise, and not just a desire, but we would actually embrace wisdom and we would live lives well for the glory of Jesus alone. Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning, for these people gathered together. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms of our country that I can open up a Bible and we can come gather and sing the praises of you. And so, Lord, as we continue to read through Proverbs, as we study wisdom, as we seek you, Lord, I pray that we would have humble hearts, that when you speak, we would actually listen. And when we don't like what you say in your word, that we would submit ourselves to it, because we know that you are the source of all wisdom. Lord, through this series, would you allow us to see your wisdom and to choose it, to say yes. That we would know how to live a life that's aligned with you in our workplace, in our homes, in this church, in our neighborhoods. That we would have right thinking that leads to right action. We thank you, Jesus.